Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dobrý večer and welcome to the Bohemian Podcast with Piet Coleman and Travis Dole.
Good evening from Prague and welcome to the Bohemian Podcast. I'm your host, Piet Coleman.
And I'm Travis Dow of the History of Germany podcast.
Ah, the sounds of the mighty pipes echoing over the Emerald Glens. Usually this mental image conjures up a kilted figure from the Scottish Highlands playing the bagpipes. An idyllic scene for sure, but that's not the case for tonight's destination program on this Bohemian Podcast. Every 2 years, the tuning of the bass drone or the quick step of the piper's attack note are heard through the rolling hills of South Bohemia and the town of Strakonice. Strakonice plays host to one of the premier international bagpipe festivals that draws thousands of visitors to this South Bohemian city. Travis, is one heck of a good time, isn't it?
Absolutely. From the 12th century castle to the local pivo, beer that is, Strakonice is a unique place in the Czech Republic. Known as the town of bagpipers, I think it's best we start with this well-known festival. Now, the first records of bagpipes in Bohemia come from the 13th century. Let that sink in for a second.
Yeah, you know, I think what's crazy about this is people think that it's specifically set for the English Isles. Specifically, we're talking like, you know, in the Northern Highlands of Scotland. This is something that kind of catches people off guard, that there's hundreds and hundreds of years of tradition of bagpiping here in South Bohemia.
You want me to give you your trivia fact of the podcast?
Let me have it.
You know what bagpipe is in German?
What is it?
Dudelsack.
Dudelsack? Really?
I couldn't make that up.
Oh, I love the German
it's
language.
Too good to be true.
It's so romantic, actually. it's got a sweetness to it, doesn't it?
You're going
to
play your Dudelsack there?
Dudelsack.
Where is that? Is that cats dying, or is Frank over there playing his Dudelsack?
Okay, and actually, this is a good point. Maybe at some point, there might be too much bagpipe for a person for an entire weekend. This is not just a weekend event in Strakonice. It is a full week of bagpipe aficionados that make the trip from all around the world. So they start on Tuesday during this weekend. They have once every 2 years. And they go all the way to the culmination of the parade and the final goodbye bagpipe off, I guess you will. It's a competition where all the other international bagpipers come in and they perform and to say goodbye as a thank you to Strakonice. So a little goes a long way in my personal taste, but it is an epic time. I really have a good time when I go down there every couple of years.
In fact, bagpipes are very old musical instruments played by many nations, and not only in Europe. But the first records of bagpipes in Bohemia, again, from the 13th century, but the international celebration was only begun in Strakonice in 1967. Today, it is the most significant folklore festival in the world as for its size and quality.
No, it is pretty amazing. You're going. I remember seeing just all these different folks coming in, you know, just teams of bagpipers from the Middle East, from actually Scotland. You have people coming in from the Balkans. It really is, they're all very different. They get a different style. They get a different tune. They have different costumes that they wear, different cadences, you name it. Some are military-based. Some are not. There's actually even a rock performance. I think I saw a guy that looked like Ted Nugent, actually, on stage that was just rocking with a bagpipe. I didn't know that was possible. So it's really a taste for everybody. And I think everybody in the town really gets involved in this. It's a neat thought. So we mentioned that the representation from around the world, of course, the Czech Republic and Slovakia. You have Germans, French, Austrians, Dutch, Scottish, Irish, Hungarian, Italian, Spanish, and Turkish musicians that they take part in this event. This year marks the return of this International Bagpipe Festival, so we can only think that's appropriate to take our listeners down to South Bohemia, which is just about an hour and 15-minute drive south of Prague, down Route 4, to get down there. And we'd like to get our listeners a chance to visit this interesting city of Strakonice.
Let's go right now.
Let's go. Okay, Travis, we're here in Strakonice at the International Bagpipe Festival, and it looks like the whole town is here lining the streets near the castle, all the way back to the town square.
Yeah, and even more. There are many out-of-towners here supporting the performers. In all, there are some, like, 14 countries represented. Many Czech towns sent dancers and music performers, and many local schools have kids participating in this parade.
Yeah, you know, there is a lot of dancing and folk representation with this, but you know, so far we've seen a lot of these Bohemian folk dancers and a wide variety of bagpipers that are playing and a lot of different variations of instruments. Many of them are goat bags. You can see that with pipes. With either wooden carved goat heads, I guess is what I'm seeing here, or actual taxidermied heads of goats that are atop these bagpipes.
That's lovely. Some are kind of a little higher pitched, if you can imagine that, compared to what you know you kind of expect from the regular booming sound of like Scottish bagpipes. Really, kind of you know, broad variety and very interesting sounds. Costumes and the folk dancing that you know the folks marching in front of us.
You know, last night was a big outdoor concert that showcased about 10 or so different type of groups. And later today, tonight, they're going to have the closing ceremonies at the castle that will show most of these groups again, but with a longer performance, as we're told. The castle, you know, here in Strakonice is a really wonderful backdrop for this event.
Yeah, you can also kind of see the effects of the huge amount of logistics and work to prepare for this week-long festival. You can now kind of see why they only do this every 2 years.
You know, I think, you know, that's right, Travis. I think that a lot of these groups have been coming here for years, and they've learned a little bit of Czech to speak to the groups, or and part of their presentations, they're singing in between playing the bagpipes. So I think the crowd really, really appreciates this. And okay, well, that will do it for us here on the parade rounds. Travis and I will be heading on into the closing concert ceremonies in a bit to watch more performances. You know, this has really been a great, fun day out here in South Bohemia. And maybe it's time for another Dudek beer, Trav. What do you say?
Yeah, good idea. And also maybe some roasted pork, something like that. Great food and music here, too.
Sounds good to me. You know, so it's a fun time of parades, concert, food, of course, beer. And it's become a tradition with locals to take part in the celebration, a family tradition, if you will. But these traditional roots really run deep, Travis.
Yeah, and it's also the reputed birthplace of Svanda Dudák, the fabled globetrotting piper of Czech legend. The same legend was made into a book called The Bagpiper of Strakonice by Josef Kajetan Thiel, and later even a successful opera. Is that like a... That's weird.
All right, listen, bagpiping is not for everybody.
I don't know, but a bagpiping opera?
Yeah, well, yeah, kind of. You know, we'll get to that in a minute because that is it's part of the traditions and legends that you have in Strakonice. We'll talk about Dudák and we'll talk about the opera actually coming up soon.
You know Dudák, right?
If you don't know Dudák, it's the beer that's down in Strakonice.
It's a really good beer. I was going to ask if you've ever had it, but it's actually not that uncommon here. You can definitely find it. It's good. I just liked it because it has like the word dude in it. I'm drinking a beer. It's like dude beer.
Dudák.
It's like the Dudák.
And no, it is really good. And Travis, it's something that's very unique to Strakonice.
In fact, the Strakonice Burgherr's Brewery, Miestanský pivovar Strakonice AS, is the last brewery in the Czech Republic to still be owned by a town.
Now, let's put pause on this for a second because this is kind of important. Bohemia was known in the Middle Ages having these repositories of local municipalities that did their own beer
right. Yeah.
Throughout the entire Bohemia. You know, and
like a little town you might have heard of called Budweis.
Yeah, Budweis, which is Česká Budovice.
Pilsen, maybe you've heard of it, maybe.
Yeah, Pilsen Urquell,
sure. Exactly. Not sure you've ever heard of it.
Now, these are the big ones that turned into and stayed big and stayed successful after communism.
But it's also, yeah, they also got nationalized.
Right.
So when we say that a municipality owned this, that's like a pre-communist organization. That's what makes it interesting.
And this is very rare in the sense that it goes back even hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So it is the only one still owned by the town. But, you know, it's this tradition of beer brewing has been linked to this rich history on the Otava River since 1649. Take that into account there.
So the brewery makes beer in the traditional way, using ingredients from parts of Moravia and the Žatec area.
Yeah, and sometimes they have a different kind of brew that's a little sweeter to the taste as well. And that's something they put out during the summer. So they do have different selections, but you're right, it is a very unique color and taste. Well, Travis, there's one little bit of tradition that we have to mention with Dudek beer that's kind of interesting in itself, and that is actually the person that helps run Dudek in Strakonica.
The brewmaster is, in fact, a brewmistress.
That's right, one of the very few that's owned by a woman, and she is Dagmar Vlakova. So you will find Dudek everywhere at the Bagpiper Festival in late August. You'll see the signs. You'll see it sold on the corners. It is a staple of the community and the region. As a matter of fact, if you head across, if you head towards the famous Strakonica Castle, which we'll talk about shortly, cross the Otava River Bridge, and directly on the other side is the distribution hub for the brewery and a glass bottle return area. And Travis, we've been living here for a while in the Czech Republic. Turning in your pivo bottles for recycling is a weekly ritual for most Czechs across the nation.
If not daily.
If not daily. That's actually a true statement. So that way you can recycle, you get some money off of what you already paid into for buying the beer.
I was going to say, those are worth money. Yeah. Those are more beers.
Absolutely. So we talked about the bagpipes. We talked about the beer. The next thing is something that is extremely unusual that Strakonica is known for. And Travis, what is that?
You think it's unusual?
I think it's for Bohemia?
I think it's commonplace as Tuesday. I mean, honestly, who doesn't own a fez hat?
That's right, fez hats. Since the 19th century, Strakonica was a main production site for fez hats, and it's also become an industrial center known for its motorbikes and, at one time, handguns. It was the fez hats that surprised most visitors. At the beginning of the 20th century, fez hat production peaked as thousands were sent overseas to Turkey and the Middle East. Now, if you don't know what a fez hat is, it's kind of what you would see Shriners wear in the United States,
yeah.
Right? Or maybe that little monkey?
But it's, yeah. But it,
or the organ grinder monkey wears
a
fez hat.
Yeah, it's a Middle Eastern, Turkish, mm-hmm. typical, like Aladdin in, Disney's Aladdin
there
wears a fez. They all wear fezes in that movie.
So you can actually buy fez hats that are handmade in Strakonica even today, especially during this bagpipe festival weekend.
Who do they export them to?
I think still Turkey.
It's just, what?
I think they still have a lot going to Turkey.
You're blowing my mind right now. They still walk around with fez hats on them?
I'm telling you,
I need to get to Turkey now.
Ataturk, the famous Ataturk in Turkey, the big statue. I think he's got a fez hat on in the statue.
And they change it every day?
I'm not sure about that one. So Travis, the beginning of fez hat production in Strakonica is kind of misty. It's not very clear.
Story goes that a businessman from Linz named Brown, who was doing brisk trade with the Orient, visited the town in 1805. He stayed in the alehouse U Bile Ruge, like at the White Rose, and was looking for somebody who could make a fez. The innkeeper brought an expert knitter, Jan Petrasch. Brown explained the process of fez production to him. The result was said to be better than expected. That is why the businessman decided to conclude a long-term contract with the knitter. Petrasch did really well, and very soon he had so many orders that he was unable to meet them himself. Of course, other knitters kind of wanted it on the action and started producing fezes themselves, and the fez production kind of expanded rapidly.
Well, this makes sense because now we're talking about an assembly line of a certain extent when you're talking about the mid-19th century. So the real breaking point came with mechanicism. Jewish businessman Wolf Furth got the first fez production certificate in 1828. He laid the foundations of industry, making the town famous in many countries for fez hat production.
So random.
Yeah. That's one of those. When you travel through the Czech Republic, if you get a chance to talk to people, if someone can speak English to you, or if you can kind of muddle your way through Czech, you can find out these really cool sort of, you know, hidden sort of gems of trivia that you just blows your mind. And one of this is Fez hats and Strakanitsa.
Did you know we are famous for the Fez? The Fez is a hat?
I didn't know what you're talking about.
What the hell?
So, you know, when you get to Strakanitsa, you'll go downtown, just shy of the Old Town area. You're going to see on the Otava River something you just can't miss. And that, of course, is the Strakanitsa Castle. This castle is weighted in history, and it's got a focal point of the town, battles, Reformation, and it still exists today. It's pretty impressive to walk around it and in it.
So the region was first settled around the second half of the 12th century. At that time, there was a moated castle on the Otava River, and it was built by the House of Strakonice at the beginning of the 13th century. Now, in 1243, they donated a part of the castle to the Knights Hospitaller of the Order of St. John. From the beginning of the 15th century, the Knights Hospitaller owned the whole castle, as well as the surrounding manor. And then the Hussite Wars broke out in 1420, and Jan Žižka occupied Strakonice, but failed to capture the fortress. And then in the 16th century, Strakonice Castle experienced an extensive reconstruction to a representation residence of the Grand Priors of the Order. Today, tours are given through the castle that house a museum on the region, a restaurant, bookstore, and an art exhibit.
That's right. And you know, the art exhibit has photography at one time. It changes. There's an art exhibit. There's of local artisans that also showcase their latest works. You know, in one thing that really stands out with this is that there's a large pronounced tower you just can't miss in the courtyard that just overshadows the skyline pretty much of the downtown Strakonice. It really is kind of interesting because that at one time housed prisoners. And because of this, there's a lot of ghost stories and legends that remain today, which is a perfect segue into the legends of Strakonice, which there are some pretty neat ones. Now, the beginning of this podcast on this destination episode, we talked about Svante the Bagpiper is one of the legends that is kind of connected to this town of bagpipers of Strakonice. A long time ago, a bagpiper lived near Strakonice whose bagpipes made everyone dance, laugh, and cheer as they were charming his way across the countryside. Once, while he was returning home from a dance in the middle of the night, he sat down to rest. Suddenly, a strange man in black appeared in front of him and asked him if he could play to his friends in a pub. He took him into a room full of men dressed in black. Probably at this point he's going, okay, that's not a good idea. Svante began to press the bellows, and a dance he has never seen before began. He had never got to so many ducats in his cap before. That would be, of course, the money that they would throw into his cap. When the happy bagpiper thanked them, as was the custom, "The god may pay you off, dear lords." The ground shivered, the lights went off, and the petrified Svante was all alone. In the morning, the people passed by, heard the sound of his bagpipes. They approached nearer and saw Svante sleeping under the gibbet, which we assume is an overhang. When he woke up, he realized that he had played to the devils and that he had fallen into the clutches of evil. After that, he couldn't take pleasure in anything. Therefore, he went to the castle church of St. Procopius and felt immediate relief the moment he hung his bagpipes behind the altar. The enchanted bagpipes disappeared, and every year on the anniversary of the devil's dance, they resound behind the altar. This is one of the legends, but Travis, there's another legend that's interesting, and again, this references the White Lady. If I had a nickel for every time there was a legend about a White Lady from any town from here to Moravia, I'd be a wealthy man. This particular White Lady legend is interesting in itself because it has to deal with the daughter of a Rosenberg, a very famous family in the Czech Republic.
If she appeared to the Rosenbergs smiling, it meant luck for the castle's inhabitants. But if she was sad, someone of the Rosenberg family died. In her memory, gruel flavored with honey was handed out to the poor at a stone table in the castle's courtyard. Now later, the owners of the castle, members of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, altered this tradition a little. Once a year, the day before the Feast of the Assumption of Virgin Mary, which is the 15th of August, the poor were each given a pound of bread, a pint of beer, and a kreutzer, which is a silver coin. In 1784, the order put 213 guldens into the city's treasury to establish a land foundation. The site is still called Namedove Kashi, at the Honey Gruel. From this time until the First World War, the city used the interest yielded from the money to provide help for those most in need. The tradition of giving out honey gruel in the courtyard of Chmelnitsa Castle definitely ended in 1788.
Okay. So,
and the White Lady has been sad ever since.
This is very similar to the White Lady legend in Český Krumlov, which we did an episode, a destination episode some time ago, maybe last year on the Bohemian podcast, where, you know, if she was sad, someone in the Rosenberg family would have died. So, some of these things go back and forth, but what's kind of good about this one, this particular legend, is that it has a lot to do with helping the poor, and it was something that kind of materialized through religious purposes all the way up until the 18th century, which is kind of interesting. Now, the last legend in Strakonica that I think is, which is kind of appealing, is the miracle at the weir. On the 22nd of February in 1718, Rosalie Hodonkova, an 8-year-old girl and daughter of the Strakonica castle warden, fell into the weir of a 5-wheel mill that was used on the opposite side of the castle. Her rescuers found her under the ice after searching for her for 2 straight hours. The girl was not showing any signs of life. At a moment, she regained consciousness and, completely fit, told them that after she fell into the water, the famous St. John of Nepomuk appeared to her and told her that she would not drown. This supposedly happened right in front of her mother and other villagers' eyes. Strakonica, again, it's a place that's kind of close to my heart. We've got a family cottage that we use that's just about 10 minutes south of Strakonica. We drive through it all the time, heading down to Volynia, a little town in South Bohemia, where we spend some of our summer days during the weekends. And Strakonica is a place that we go through, and I think it's a nice town. I think it's got a lot of history, and the Bagpipe Festival, of course, centers this for most people every 2 years. And I'm glad we got a chance to take our listeners down there to hear the festivities. Mm-hmm. So we want to thank you for listening to this evening as we toured South Bohemia. I would like to do a shout out before we wrap things up tonight to my co-host buddy, Travis Dow. As you know, he hosts the History of Alchemy podcast, and I co-host that show with him. But now he's got a new endeavor called the History of Germany podcast, which is also found on iTunes. So Travis, maybe you could talk real quickly about what you're doing with this.
Yeah, so I launched a new show. What's special about it is that there's an English feed and a German feed. So I'm actually translating this and recording it in German also. So you can find both those on historyofgermanypodcast.com.
Be sure to visit bohemican.com for all things Czech from an American expat perspective. Feel free to leave a message for us on the contact page and rate us on iTunes. We look forward to bringing you more on this great nation of the Czech Republic next time on the Bohemican Podcast. For Travis Dow, I'm Pete Coleman saying Nasledano from Prague.
You have been listening to the Bohemican Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Dow. Visit bohemican.com for more information on this episode, other episodes, and much more information about history, traditions, and culture in the Czech Republic. Find us on iTunes, subscribe, and review, and don't forget to rate us. We would love to hear from you. Send comments, ideas, and corrections on our comments page on bohemican.com. Or get in touch via Facebook or Twitter. Tune in to our sister podcast, History of Alchemy, which is also on iTunes or on historyofalchemy.com. Until next time on the Bohemian Podcast, thank you for listening.